After watching this video, some of you are feeling very bad about the Christian people, and there are some excited things you also saw in it, and that is baptism and church growth over there. I mean, it's very interesting to know that, you know, even in the history, whenever there is a persecution, church always grew. And when the persecution stopped, church started to shrink. It's very interesting, Middle Eastern or Pakistan or Asian country where Christian people, they are in minority, church growth is very powerful. On the other hand, Europe or America, when you see church is shrinking, some people think, you know, church is growing. I mean, you have 25,000 people in the church, but how about the other part of the American USA? The church are not really growing, actually. And we are trying to, in order to save this church, we are trying our best to make the Bible teaching mellow and sugar-coated and diluted so we can sustain. Because we don't have guts like those Christian people to stand up in front of the secular world, and we can have a, you know, take a boldly step and speak for the truth, absolute truth. We're trying to make absolute truth a relative truth. And we are thinking we are doing great. Actually, I want to tell you, church may grow over here, but that's not a church. That most likely a big shopping plaza or entertainment center, that's all. That is our Christianity in Europe and America. Either you like it or not, that is the truth. And you're going to figure it out later. Christian people, they are not, I mean, shocked, whatever the things happened, bomb blasts, and Christian people, they are arrested because they were talking about Jesus. They are trying to defend their faith. They are not shocked because people are dragging them and slapping in their face, and people, they are falsely accusing them, insulting them. They are not shocked by those things because they know those things are already in the Bible. And if you are not talking about those things in your church, it means you are not presenting the balanced gospel in the church. You are not showing the true picture or complete picture to your church. And when you will not show the complete picture or the complete picture, you are not doing the justice with the people. And I want to challenge you, if you are a Christian, we need to understand you cannot be a Christian without being persecuted. You cannot be Christian if you will not face opposition. How come you are light and darkness will not oppose you? And if darkness is not opposing you, it means you are not light. You are part of the dead darkness. So if something happened because of your righteous work or for your godly work in your life, it means you have light. And that's why you have opposition. And you shouldn't be shocked. Because that proves that your faith is genuine. And you are stick with the truth. Otherwise, you don't need to face the opposition. And Jesus already told his disciple, and he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 10 to 12, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Because of righteousness. Doing the right thing. And swimming against the current. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. What kind of the blessing is this? If you tell any American or European person, you will be blessed when people insult you. You say, no, sorry, what are you talking about? Why I want to be insulted by people? Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of the evil against you because of me. The people, they will oppose you, not because you look different or your race is different. They oppose you because you are the follower of Christ. And that is the penalty, and also it's a privilege too for you. Whenever you follow truly to Christ, you have to face the opposition. And what we have to do in this situation, Jesus already told us, rejoice and be glad. How come somebody slap on your face and you say, it's okay, I'm glad, because I'm persecuted because of Christ. Have you ever heard that kind of the testimony? Maybe not. Very rare. Because when we realize somebody wants to slap on our face, we always turn the statement and make the Bible diluted because we are not ready for the slap. We are not ready for the persecution. So we always try to make the Bible or the Word of God relative to the lives of the people and try to make it relativistic to our culture, our morals and values, and bringing our culture over the Bible. But Jesus said, when people that torture you, persecute you, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. That's why you have a reward. For in the same way they persecuted the prophet who were before you, he's telling his disciple, that's been happening and that is happening with you, and that's going to be happening in the future with the true believers. It's not a new thing. And it shouldn't be a new thing for us too. Same source, same Bible, and the same results we are still facing. In Egypt, 21 Muslim people, they accepted Christ. And when they accepted Christ, not only they have to isolated from their family, and they have to be going away from their family. They were actually abducted by the Islamic State. And they were arrested, and they took them, and they beheaded them. And they make a video and put on the YouTube, and this was like a gory video, they're putting on the YouTube, and the people, they watched it. And what they were saying to those people, that is the penalty for the people they convert to Christianity. The people, they have to pay the big penalty for their faith. What we are paying in America, nothing. We love to talk about all kinds of politics and all kinds of the theology, but we are not practicing. We are not ready for the persecution. We are not ready to face the world. Maybe we are coward. If those people, they were ready and they bend their necks, and the people, they were, driving the knife on their neck, and they're still saying, we are not going to denounce our faith. And what was the title of this video YouTube they put on the YouTube? People of the Cross. They said, these are the people of the cross, because they cannot defend it. They are weak. And that's the world. Think about it. But fortunately, those people, they didn't renounce Christ, because they already knew that, because we are becoming Christian, and we have read that when we become a Christian, we have to face the consequences of it. Muslim people, if you want to see what is the difference between Islam and Christianity, and that is the message of cross, which can divide Christianity and Islam. Christianity, according to the Muslim, is a weak religion. And their God is weak because that God couldn't defend himself. How come he can defend the whole world? They have totally worldly thoughts and worldly ideas. They believe on the human power and strength. But they forgot Jesus Christ used the very weak 12 people in the Roman history and turned the whole Roman Empire upside down. And prove the whole world in the history that he can use weak people to do his mighty work. And the Muslim people, they know that. If you see today, Christianity is the biggest religion in the world. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, he said, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. He said, I put my all pride, all my knowledge, and I'm excited to be weak. Because when I say I'm weak, it means Jesus become my power. But when I say I'm strong, then Jesus is not your power. That's what Paul learned about it. He said, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then he is strong. Matthew 5, we just read the blessed are those who persecuted because of the righteous. Now, what is this blessing? This blessing is totally different from the worldly blessing. Blessed to be blessed means to be happy. Happiness, when you have in your happiness, it means you're blessed. And the root word for happiness is a hap. Hap means chance or the change you made in your life to make yourself happy. And that's what we do. Every day we change our priority to make our life exciting. And sometimes in order to do that, we sometimes ignore church and focus on the worldly things because we're looking for excitement. We feel lonely. We feel bored. We think, you know, it's enough. We read the Bible. We need some kind of worldly entertainment. And we spend billions of dollars on those things. Disney, go and see Google and find out how much money people are spending on Disneyland and how much money we are spending on football stadiums, college school stadiums. If we just save this money, I'm not talking to the worldly people, I'm talking to the church. If you will use this money, which you are spending on the secular thing, for the mission, we can change the whole world map. And there will be no person in African country or Asian country can be sleep hungry or will not have a pure water. And being a Christian, we need to feel convicted about it. So we are not looking for worldly pursuit of happiness, which is American dream, American, the world of opportunity, that's wonderful blessing. But what we are doing with this blessing, if we think those blessings, that freedom is just for me, and we are not sharing this blessing and resources with other people, we are the most selfish people in this world, being a Christian. I'm talking to you, Christian. Now I'm talking to you, you're American, European, whatever. I'm not worried about it. I'm talking to you, considering you are strong believer and true believers. Pursuit of happiness. I mean, they come and go. They all depend on the circumstances and the weathers and the company and the people you live around. But the joy Jesus is talking about, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. This blessing, he said, this blessing finds you when you are in a pain. You didn't need to find the excitement. You didn't need to look for the happiness. Happiness will find you in the pain. And that joy which shows sorrows and loss and pain and grief are powerless to touch. That joy which shines through tears and which nothing in life or death can take away. That joy cannot be taken away. I mean, our excitement, you understand, if the weather just changes, our mood changes. But the joy which we get from the Jesus, it will not change. It's a permanent, consistent, perpetual. That's why Paul said, who can separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or darkness or danger or sword? Should we start to make some changes in the word of God in order to avoid those things? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our joy is in the Jesus Christ. If he is in our life, we have everything. If he is not in us, we have nothing. If we found everything, if we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. If we have Jesus, we don't have anything, we have everything. It depends how you read and how you interpret the word of God. Jesus said in John 16:22, no one, said Jesus, will take your joy from you. Nobody can take away whether circumstances, secular world, relativism, political correctness, sports, Disney, marijuana, all kind of thing. Does it really a true thing, whatever Jesus said, nobody can take away your joy even when you are being persecuted? Is it right? Is there any incident in the history when people they're persecuted and they were still rejoicing? Yes, there is. When we read the book of Acts chapter 5, we see apostles, they were dragging to the Sanhedrin and they were told not to talk about Christ anymore. And what was their answer in standing in the court? And they know that if they speak against that Sanhedrin, they can be killed right away. Just like Christian people, they're being killed in Pakistan. What was their answer? And what should be our answer being American Christian or any Christian in the world? What should be our answer? We must obey God rather than human being. That should be our answer. And what happened? They were flogged. They were beaten by the Sanhedrin people. And they were kicked out from there. And what happened? They were not weeping and crying and telling people, help us now, what happened with us? They were not even regret, or they were not even ashamed. Instead of that, in the verse 41, chapter 5, they said they were rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. That is a Christianity. If somebody not talking about persecution in the church or not challenging your faith, I think we are not balancing the truth. We are not speaking the truth. Regardless you are pastor, layman, pastor, or elder, or a church member, if you're a true believer, you're going to have an opposition. Even you're going to have an opposition in the midst of your family when you stand for the truth. Persecution is unavoidable for Christian people. You cannot avoid, and you cannot be immune. It's going to be happening in your life. Your faith can be challenged. You can be ridiculed in the midst of people. People, they may consider you exclusivist. People, they may consider you radical. They may consider you fundamentalist. They give you all kind of name in order to make you feel bad. Timothy said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life, if you want to live a godly life in Christ, Jesus will be persecuted. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So there is no option. I don't know how you can find an option. I mean, how come you can make a 15,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 people in the church and there is no opposition? And everybody just gathered in one place. It's impossible. There is something wrong in your teaching. You may be preaching a prosperity gospel. Maybe you are a motivational preacher, but not a godly preacher. So whenever we preach the gospel, there's going to be a persecution. There are going to be tests and trials. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. I mean, where Jesus is sending us? He's supposed to send us to Hawaii, right? A European country, nice country, where we have a good life. What is the purpose of following Jesus then? He's sending the innocent animal in the midst of the wolves. So what's going to be the result of it? They're going to butcher them. They're going to eat them all. Therefore, be as shrewd as snake and as innocent as dove. You are, be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local council and be flogged in the synagogue on my account. You will be brought before governors and kings as witness to them and to the Gentile. And by the way, the word witness comes from the martyrs. The person who is ready to die for his faith, that is the definition of to be a witness. Are we willing to die for Christ? Do you think, have you ever think about it? sitting in the church or at home, what will happen if the people do the same thing in Pakistan? They blaspheme and drag to the court and try to behead me like in Egypt. What would be my reaction? What would be my response? So we will be a witness. So those people, either they were slaughtered by those Egyptian terrorists, but they put a good foundation of the truth. They prove that we are faithful servant of Christ. That's what we have to prove too. Jesus says, student is not above teacher, nor a servant above master. If they can persecute the perfect example and perfect God or perfect man, what kind of the things we can expect from this darkness? And if your faith had never been challenged at the time of your job, in the church, in the shopping center, wherever you work or wherever you go, there is something wrong in your faith. Because you are light, how come people they cannot see you? You can be easily identified in the darkness. Just think about a small firefly. I mean, when I drive from here, I mean, when you drive over here, I mean, you see darkness everywhere. You can only see through the head beam of your truck or car, and nothing you can see on the backside. But if there is one little firefly, you can still see in the midst of a huge darkness. He can still make a difference. So we cannot hide ourselves if we are Christian, unless we are plugged with Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 to 39. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How come you said it? Oh, you know, we want to keep everybody together. We are making a plan. We have a so good agenda in our church. We have a good program, you know. We want to keep everybody together. You can't. Because when you speak the truth, you're going to always have opposition too. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's what we are trying to do, because we try to convince our brother and sister and our nation just to look good in their sights. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. I saw a lot of time, a lot of grandparents, they just switch churches because they consider our grandparents, they don't like to come in this church. That's why we change our church. We want to follow our grandkids. Regardless that church doctrine is right or wrong, we don't care. We just want to follow our grandkids because that's our family. So who you are going to prioritize? You are prioritizing your grandkids. They're supposed to follow you instead of follow you. They follow you. You are following them. What kind of example we are setting for them? Instead of sit with them and help them to understand what is wrong and right, and telling them Christianity is not all about entertainment. It's a serious thing. So we are just looking for a church which have more toys, more entertainment, more kind of the big kind of the shopping center plaza type building. That's the thing we like. More lights, more cameras, and all worldly attraction in it. That is the standard of our church nowadays, which is totally contradictory to the Bible. So Peter said in 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, he said, dear friend, do not surprise at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ. Rejoice. So that you may be overjoyed when this, when his glory is revealed, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. So what we can learn from it? We have to stand for the truth. We have to stand up for the truth. We do not need to mellow the word of God. Whatever we learn from the apostle, we have to preach the gospel as it is. We cannot say those people, they don't know. They were oblivious. They didn't know their culture. If I would be there, man, I can easily change the whole circumstances and make the Christianity more kind of appealable and more prosper over there, and Christianity have more growth at that time, and we think we are smarter than those people. That's not right. Still, we are preaching the same gospel, the same apostle teaching we have to teach today, and we cannot change it. We have to take it as it is. Either we like it or not, we have to take it. We cannot customize it. This is a one size, and that size cannot be changed. You have to change yourself in order to fit in this dress. So we have to never forget our brother and sister, they're living in other countries. If you think you are blessed, you have resources, you have a power, you have all worldly things which are physical, for the physical life they are given, you have to share with other people. Because we are the keeper of our brother and sister. They're living in other part of the world. And I want to tell you, as long as you are thinking about those brothers, they're living in the persecution, it really helps you to be focused on the right priorities. It keeps you on the right track. But if we ignore them and we can think, okay, this is our world, we don't care what's happening over there, it's so kind of uncomfortable, it means we are not considering they are the part of the church. We all a body of Christ. We have to think about them. We have to pray about them. And especially, because a lot of adult people, they're sitting over here. You have to tell your grandkids. You have to show them those videos. You have to tell them about the persecution happening in all over the world. So they understand Christianity is not a bed of roses. Someday we have to maybe face the same consequences. So they will be well prepared ahead of time. Start to do now. Otherwise, we'll be late. Thank you.